2. Chamberlain. The regiment sat in an open field studded with boulders like half-sunken balls. Small fires burned under a steam-gray sky. Chamberlain wandered, watching, listening. He did not talk. He moved silently among them, hands clasped behind his back, wandering, nodding, soaking in the sounds of voices, tabulating the light in men's eyes, moving like a forester through a treasured grove, noting the condition of the trees. All his life he had been a detached man, but he was not detached anymore. He had grown up in the cold New England woods, the iron dark, grown in contained silence like a lone house on a mountain. And now he was no longer alone. He had joined not only the army, but the race, not only the country, but mankind. His mother had wanted him to join the church. Now he had his call. He wandered, sensing. Tired men, but ready. Please, God, do not withdraw them now. He saw illness in one face, told the man to report to sick call. One man complained. Colonel, it keeps raining. These damn Enfield's gonna clog on us. Why don't we trade him for Springfield's first chance we get? Chamberlain agreed. He saw Buckland, together with a cold-eyed group from the old 2nd Maine, nodded good morning, did not stop to talk. A young private asked him, Sir, is it true that General McClellan is in command again? Chamberlain had to say no. The private swore. Chamberlain finished the walk, went back alone to sit under a tree. He had dreamed of her in the night, dreamed of his wife in a scarlet robe, turning witch-like to love him. Now, when he closed his eyes, she was suddenly there, hot candy presence. Away from her, you loved her more. The only need was her, she the only vacancy in the steamy morning. He remembered her letter, the misspelled words. I lie here dreamily. Even the misspelling is lovely. A mass of men was coming down the road, unarmed, unspiked, no rifles visible. Prisoners. They stopped near a long rock ledge which walled the road. Some of his own troops began drifting over that way to stare, to chat. They were usually polite to prisoners. The accents fascinated them. Although some of the regiment were sailing men, most of them had never been out of Maine. Chamberlain thought vaguely of the South. She had loved it. She had been at home. Heat and Spanish moss. Strange hot land of courtly manners and sudden violence, elegance and anger. A curious mixture. The white-columned houses high on the green hills, the shacks down in the dark valleys. Land of black and white, no grays. The South was a well-bred, well-mannered, highly educated man challenging you to a duel. She loved it. Dreamily. She had liked being a professor's wife. She had been outraged when he went off to war. Square-headed Kilrain.
Is the colonel awake?
Chamberlain nodded, looking up.
Oh, you found me a John Henry, sir.
John who?
A John Henry, sir. A black man. A darky. He's over that-a-way.
Kilrain gestured. Chamberlain started to rise.
I heard him a-groanin', Kilrain said, just before dawn. Would the colonel care to see him?
Lead on. Kilrain walked down a grassy slope away from the road, across the soft field marshy with heavy rain, up a rise of granite to a gathering of boulders along the edge of a grove of dark trees. Chamberlain saw two men standing on a rock ledge, men of the regiment. Kilrain sprang lightly up the rock. The two men, one was the newcomer Buckland, touched their caps and wished him, "Mornin'," and grinned and pointed.